Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lore cast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect lore cast. I'm N7 the Legend.
And I'm Genesis. Join us
as we explore along tides of light
and through shoals of dust
to see where this lore began
and consider where it may go.
Spectres, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Mass Effect Lorecast. I am joined today by my co-host, Ochi, who is also my cat, and more importantly, the other main co-host, Genesis, who I haven't seen Genesis's cat in frame yet. Is Maya around?
She is around, but her automatic feeder is going to go off in a few minutes, so she's waiting.
Okay, well, that's better than my cat, Ochi, who smells like urine. Why do you smell like pee? I don't know. She's not wet, so at least there's that.
She's sitting on my lap, though.
Yes, she's got that going for her, which is nice. But I guess we should get on with the show and stop talking about my pee-pee cat. Isn't that right, Ochi?
Today, only if you give evidence from Antigen first.
Yes. All right. You're shedding all over me and you smell like urine and I love you very much, but I have a show to do. So if you don't mind, Ochi, I'll get on with this show. And speaking of which, that sound means that our Reaper tier patron, Commander Shrinky Ship, has once again generously chosen to sponsor the show and wanted to hear more about Reeve. So I can hear the voices. They're telling us that we must submit. We must talk about Reeve and specifically what changes in the Mass Effect universe when Rex is dead and instead Reeve takes his place.
I don't like any of it. It's so hard to watch these videos, and he pisses me off to a level that I don't think there are characters that you can love to hate just because they're the bad guy and they're so well written that you're like, oh, I hate this guy. This guy is so well written that I hate all of his viewpoints. I never want him in my games. And now in the future, I'm going to be happy when he gets eaten by a Thresher Maw.
Yeah.
It's a simple fact.
He was an ass anyway. What does Rex say? He was a pain in the ass anyway. That's so matter of fact. Yeah, I kind of don't blame you on that. Reeve is quite rude. He's misogynistic. He's a whole bunch of negative characteristics that we can get into and try and explain to you exactly why you need to keep Rex around. But moreover, I think it's important to discuss the Ochi. Seriously, you're going to get banned from this room. I think it's important to discuss why Reeve makes an impact in the lore. the lore, the universe of Mass Effect just simply would not be the same if Rex is not around. And not just because you can choose to cure the genophage, you can choose to not cure the genophage, either way. However, I think it has massive implications for where we go after Mass Effect 3. Now, that being said, let's go back to the beginning in which we can meet Reeve. Let's check out right from the get-go in Mass Effect 2 how things are different. Here is what happens when you first land on Tuchanka. Check this out. This is a video courtesy of WizKid Word.
You are Shepard. We would have shot any other alien out of the sky. But you are Shepard. The respect due our most powerful enemies. You destroyed Vermeier. You saved us from becoming Saren's minions. But you also destroyed a cure to the genophage. But more than that, you killed Erdnot Rex. I am clan leader Erdnot Reeve. Rex was my brood brother.
I wish there had been another way. He was a valued member of my crew.
Human sentiment tastes like piss. Don't spoil a death with it. Especially one as useful as this.
Especially one as useful as this. He's, like, right off the bat, so cynical and such a spiteful little a-hole. He is praising you, but really only doing that insofar as you've enabled him to reach the top of his clan's food chain.
Yeah, I don't like, I mean, this is very, it's also very Krogan to me. I will give him this, that Rex is the outlier of who we meet. He's the one that wants to change it for the positive. But Reeve is who the Krogan people currently are, or who, what we assume the majority of them are. So I understand his first interaction being like, normally we would never allow a human, and you brought a Salarian with you, and also the possibility that you've brought Garrus along too, so there's a Turian and a Salarian that you're bringing on to Tuchanka. So I'm thankful that Reeve will allow Shepard and crew onto Tuchanka, but then moving on from that, he's just, I don't like his wording. What was it that human emotions are piss? Yeah, that's great.
Specifically that it would be pissing. I forget now exactly how he phrases it, but basically that we should treasure Rex's death. After this clip, he says, with his death, Rex's friends became my friends, and Clan Erdnot fell to me for the better.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, like, okay, so apparently this guy really is honest about only being out for himself. Interestingly, in this scenario, Gatatog Uvenk kind of becomes Reeve's hype man. You know, that guy in the background going, yeah, after every time someone says something. That's Gatatog Uvenk. Until Reeve appears to be open to Grunt joining the clan through the clan rite.
Yeah, and I guess obviously Reeve has to be open to it in order for us to progress Grunt's storyline from a gameplay standpoint. But it does also show his level of ambition. He'll see Grunt as somebody that he can own, he can control and maintain, and that Grunt can be quite a powerful Krogan, and he's going to want him on his side.
Yeah, he wants to use Grunt.
Mm-hmm.
He certainly wants to use Grunt for his own ends. I don't trust that he wants anything that's good for Grunt because it's good for Grunt, only if it's mutually beneficial. I mean, at this point, Reeve is essentially just like a job application, but he's like a malicious employer where he's thinking about all the ways that he can use you during the interview.
Yeah, Exactly that. It feels yucky. I don't like it at all. But I kind of wanted to also know a little bit more about this scene and find out if Reeve opens up about Rex, and does he talk about him at all in Mass Effect 2?
Not really. So he does disclose that they are technically half brothers, brood brothers, as he puts it. They share the same mother. And Reeve is aware that Rex wanted to unite the clans, which this implies that Reeve isn't interested in doing that. And he isn't interested in any lofty political pursuits beyond only retaining power and domination. Reeve goes on to say that Rex wanted to deny tradition to stabilize our species. And he says it like that's a bad thing. That's the crazy part.
Right. And again, going back, Krogan tradition is this angry, is this, you get power through domination, you get your, it's all through hostility and aggression. And that's very, very Krogan. And Rex tries to take that in a different way and to rebuild and reestablish and kind of build a power base out of cooperation. Reeve doesn't want any of that. And I'm also going to apologize right out here that I'm probably going to mix the names up because Rex and Reeve are a little close in my mind.
They're very close. And I apologize if my attention is distracted. I can't seem to get this pee cat out of my room. This is just a heck of a scenario for honestly, this is preparing me for having a baby boy in just a couple months. So Thank you, Ochi. Thank you for that. Dad's not doing anything important. Don't worry. But yes, so Reeve is a selfish little wannabe dictator, and we can kind of surmise this immediately out of the gate in Mass Effect 2. And what's really interesting to me is this hierarchy, where this is one of the key differences that we can notice right off the bat in Mass Effect 2. Is that there is a difference in the hierarchy of clans if Rex is in charge versus if Reeve is in charge. So go ahead, take a look at this and tell me what you notice.
Who's this? I thought you leave the clan alone.
Uvenk is from Clan Gatatog. Our clans have fought to a standstill, so we've come to a temporary understanding.
A brief joining. Erdnot is senior, for the moment, as is traditional.
For the moment, yes. We'll see.
You don't call this a true alliance?
Both clans have shown their strength. For the moment, neither clan can win, so we turn our attention elsewhere.
As soon as one clan shows weakness, the stalemate ends. The survivors will produce stronger, smarter Krogan. This has always been the way.
I heard the Blood Pack brought a Salarian here. Know anything about that?
All right, I'm going to stop it right there. I managed to successfully extract the parasite from my room. But more importantly, Reeve and Uvenk are talking about things as if they are not settled, whereas Rex has unified these clans. Reeve is still openly competing for power. Like, there's an active threat to his power. They're only at what they call a stalemate, you know, for the moment. So to me, this suggests that there is just a lot of political instability and that Reeve may not be the leader for long, assuming that we don't know what we later know in Mass Effect 3.
Right. And where Rex had this whole idea of and went through like many of the different clans, and when Shepard asks those questions, it's like, this clan is known for, like, culture, this one's known for weapon making, this one's known for this one's known for that. Reeve doesn't give us any of that information and just talks about the one that he's still currently fighting with and at a stalemate at. And it's like, what's going to happen to the rest of the clans? Are we going to lose that Krogan culture? Are we going to lose... I believe that he said, like, some of them were still, like, the weapon makers. Like, you need all of those clans and you need them united in order to uplift those uplift your people. And Reeve's not doing any of that.
No, he's not. And what's more is, like you mentioned, Rex knows the different clans and why they're known. And Reeve just only cares about power and retaining it. And it doesn't really give us a good view of Krogan society. This is what we have been told almost as a caricature from the outside in when we hear about the Krogans through the Salarians, through the Turians, that they are a violent, brutish race who only cares about domination. And that's the only thing that they understand. And Reeve is almost this living caricature of that. At the same time, what I notice is... Reeve wants to preserve the tradition. That's what he keeps talking about, tradition. He wants to preserve this tradition of apparently just Krogan tribalism and them fighting amongst themselves, which is exactly what spurred Rex to get into fight with his father, Jared. It's what pushed Rex out of T'Chanka, ultimately. This idea that the Krogan were destined to just keep fighting over this irradiated rock. And it's sad to see a scenario where Rex has died in Mass Effect 1. Or I guess you can also get to this if you never recruited Rex. But one where Rex is not in the picture. And Reeve is just perpetuating this violence.
Yeah. Oh, that just brings up an interesting one of if you never recruited Rex, why does he die?
But I'm not sure if he dies. But I know that he's not the leader of T'Chanka.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it ever gets to that.
Okay. So kind of want to shift it here a little bit to back to Grunt, because he's central to this mission that we have in Mass Effect 2 on T'Chanka. And do we get any further indication about how Reeve feels about him? I know that for storyline progression, obviously, they have to allow us to do this mission. But what's the storyline there that Reeve talks about?
Yeah, you know, it seems like he is really just interested in using Grunt, as I already mentioned, to gain glory, to gain power, to gain prowess. And here, just take a listen to the way that Reeve talks about Grunt, and you will see what I mean. Here's a clip courtesy of the Destati. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
You would allow a cloned Krogan to join Clan Erdnot?
No, I would not. But Warlord O'Keer is well known. Grunt could win us some influence. Clan Erdnot can't stay dominant forever. Some of our people will never accept this. We'll have to see how Grunt fares in the right.
What happens if he doesn't do this rite of passage?
If his clan is destroyed, he can be killed without taking the rite. And I advise against delaying the rite any longer. The rite secures clan membership. There is no cure for his mood. He's Krogan.
So did you catch that right there at the beginning? That... he's basically, he's talking about, how can Grunt further my own agenda?
Mm-hmm. It's not like, and bring this new, I mean, the tank bread into the clan, raise him like a true Krogan, involve him in everything. It's more of like, yeah, I'll take you because you can help build the power base.
Exactly. Like, yeah, you know, we could put you to use. It's not I can see that you are going through some growing pains because you don't have a clan. You don't have a family. And Rex seems far more interested in giving Grunt that family, a group to call his own. I think that's like a huge key difference just right there from the beginning in this first few minutes of just meeting Reeve in Mass Effect 2. And a lot of people might not realize this, like if you only played through once or twice and you always play through the same way, maybe you didn't get Reeve in your Mass Effect 2, maybe you didn't get Rex in your Mass Effect 2. Because I think if you don't play Mass Effect 1, Rex is automatically dead, right?
I don't think so.
I don't know. But I always play through the whole series, so I don't know.
Oh, you know, it's a possibility because I think on in the Genesis comic, you can pick what you did on Vermeier. And so I think even if I've started at 2, I've picked that Rex survived. So,
gotcha. Yeah. All right. Well, then case closed. That is settled. Other than that, you know, much of the dialogue here, it really goes the same way. No matter what, if you have Rex or Reeve. But again, like you mentioned, that's mainly because in Mass Effect 2, Rex and Reeve are pretty much just quest givers or relayers or purveyors. They just advance the quests. And that's essentially what they serve to do, plus some flavor text. But I did notice that when Grunt discusses Warlord O'Keer, there is a big difference in the way that Rex or Reeve responds. Reeve mentions how widely hated that O'Keer is. And Grunt responds, well, O'Keer's dead, to which Reeve says, that's too bad. Hate is good. Influential. I mean, that's a window into Reeve's psyche right there. Reeve would rather be feared.
Big time. Yeah, and it feels very, I'm about to shoot lightning out of my fingers. Feel the hate, let it flow through you. Very Emperor Palpatine.
Reeve as Palpatine. I don't think he'd fit under those robes, but it would be pretty funny to see it anyway. Interestingly, what I noticed in the Rex scenes that I never saw in the Uvank scenes, Rex headbutts Uvank, whereas Reeve does not.
That makes sense, because Uvank is being a hype man for him. He's also agreeing that you should stay with tradition. Why would you headbutt the guy who's saying, let's stick with tradition?
Well, Reeve does kind of, or Uvank does express distaste at allowing Grunt in, but yeah, it's not nearly as combative as how he disagrees with Rex. So, interesting change in animation there as well. Now, what does this mean for the overall state of the Krogan and Tuchanka in Mass Effect 2? Well, I'm getting the feeling that the Krogan are in this objectively more volatile place for two reasons. Number one, because Rex hasn't lived to unite them. And number two, Reeve is actively continuing that same tribalism that has kept the Krogan at war amongst each other for so long.
Yeah. It feels tribalism. I like that because that sets the tone very, very well. And I don't think that the Krogan are going to make it out of this as happy and united and bountiful in the end. Reeve is going to take it down.
It is the biggest seismic difference for like the fate of one race that we see between one game and the next. Like between Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 2. I think it is the hardest pivot. Like, we don't see another pivot for one race in the Milky Way quite like this. At least in terms of like promising aspects of the future. And that takes us to Mass Effect 3, where we have this diplomatic meeting, this summit aboard the Normandy, and in place of Rex is Reeve.
It now does not go good. It starts off completely different.
So you're right. You thought maybe the summit with Rex was tense? Oh, buddy, do we have something to show you? So here's how it goes if Reeve is the leader of Tuchanka and Clan Erdnot. And you invite Reeve aboard the Normandy, along with the leaders of the Salarian Union and the Turian Hierarchy. Check this out. This is quite something.
He's just a glorified thug. How can he speak for his people?
by demanding respect. And I suggest the Solarian show some by starting with my name, Erdnott Reeve. Then you can tell me why I'm supposed to give a piss about the Turians. I've already got Reaper scouts sniffing around my own planet.
Reeve, spare us the bluster. I'm not a diplomat and neither are you. So stop pretending and just tell us what you want.
Oh, I'm deadly serious. You need our help? Then here's what you're going to do. Cure the genophage.
So he right away just goes right into it. If you thought Rex was playing hardball, Reeve is so much worse. Reeve is, he doesn't give a crap about anyone else but himself. Here's what he wants. And you know what? You give that to me, I may or may not help.
Yeah. And just the fact that even the language that everybody uses is so much more aggressive. Right off the gate, everything feels tense in the room, like this, like a spark could ignite a bomb easily. And I do love the line from Victus, though, that neither of them are diplomats. And because it's true, you know, the Primarch was not ever intended to be the Primarch. He's a general. And then Reeve definitely shouldn't be running the Krogan clans.
No, they're not. And they are both military men, so to speak. So maybe in some circumstances that would lend to diplomacy getting places faster. I'm not sure. But with Victus's personality and with the Solarian Union's personality, like I just don't see this going very well. Especially like the very first thing we hear is the Dalatras saying that this Krogan is nothing more than a thug. Oh man, that's what you walk into? Holy crap. And you know, the Sirkesh scene, it goes pretty differently too. Not in a great way. Let's just listen closely to not just how Reeve is speaking here, but how Shepard is speaking to Reeve. Okay. Take a listen to this.
No offense, Reeve, but let me handle this. Krogan aren't known for being tactful.
Just remember, these females belong to me. As the one who cured the genophage, my word will be law over all Krogan clans.
How exactly did you get the other clans to let you represent them?
It was a time-honored tradition of intimidation, threats, and violence. Krogan don't waste energy voicing opinions. We just crush everyone else who has one. You're too polite, Shepard.
Reeve, don't!
All right, and I'll pause it there because that is the Krogan airdrop scene, but man, do we get there in a different way.
Mm-hmm. For me, I love that Garrus is asking the real questions. How the hell did you get this spot? You know, that's what it feels like. And then the tone, like last week with Rex, we talked about how Shepard is like, Rex, don't jump out of the airship. And it sounds like a chiding mom being like, don't do that. And this one, Shepard's pissed. Reeve, don't you dare jump out of this thing. And so it's so different in just the slightest little tone changes.
It feels a lot more like Reeve is going rogue and could potentially endanger this entire mission, where the Rex thing is just kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Reeve one is, like, deadly serious, and I think part of it is because Reeve talks down to Shepard. Like, Reeve doesn't respect Shepard at all, so why would you expect Reeve to obey any kind of order to stand down?
So, I don't know if we pulled this as a line, but Reeve does later on say, I can't respect you yet, Shepard, because we have not shed blood together. And so he at least does let you know why he doesn't feel camaraderie with you, why he doesn't respect you yet. And that at least makes a little bit of sense to me. He's like, we haven't spilled blood together, and it will take a lot of blood in order for me to trust you.
Yeah. And you know what? The other thing is, he only talks about his ownership of these female Krogan. The female Krogan are mine. Out of the way. Like, dude, what are you about to do to these poor women?
Oh, so that is something that I absolutely hate about Reeve, is the fact how often and in so many different cases he talks about owning the women. These females are mine. The women belong to me. And just in every way possible, not like, these are my people. It's not, you know, the women need to be back on Tuchanka. Not the females are a part of our society. It's no, those are my property and somebody else has my property. And to treat women as property, that is a tirade.
That is a huge yikes. Huge yikes. Yeah, and like you mentioned, that's not the only time he refers to them like that. Now, we could get into whether or not the Krogan society and how apparently men have to compete for women, it might lend themselves to creating that kind of machismo culture, like giga machismo culture. However, that would seemingly exempt Reeve of any personal responsibility. And that's not what I mean to do. But Reeve does talk through it a little bit later, and he explains to us that this is just the way that Krogan society is. But he's saying it as if it's a good thing and that it should stay that way. Whereas we get a very different tone from Rex.
Absolutely. And even if it is this like super machismo, I have to fight other men off in order to get the woman, then shouldn't that mean that the woman have the utmost power and respect? Like, if you have to fight to win the prize that is the woman, they should be treated with, like, put on pedestals, not degraded down to the bottom where now they're just property. If you win the prize of having the girl, then it should be, you treat them with utmost respect.
Yeah, something tells me that Reeve doesn't take rejection well, so he could never understand what it would mean to have another person who is capable of rejecting him, who is an equal in that way. I won't go too much further down that line of thought. I think we all know where that's going because Reeve presents himself that way. But with that, we do have some fun things planned for the midbreak, and we have a lot more Reeve to talk about afterward. So let's head on over to the midbreak, and here we go.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We have beef, we have bacon, we have beer, the foods of my people.
Young men have funny ideas of what Asari are like. I blame the extranet and computer games.
Rex?
Shepard.
Grunt?
Shepard.
Rex? Grunt?
Reeve? Here we are in the middle of the midbreak. In the middle of the show, rather. Thank God Reeve was not invited to the Citadel party. I can only imagine him causing fist fights with Zaid. That probably wouldn't go well. But we are here in the midbreak, and we are continuing our tradition now of sound effects. Let's play Can You Guess That Line? And from which Mass Effect game? Genesis, you got a line for me to guess this time.
I do. I don't know if any of your playthroughs, if you've ever chosen this route, so we'll see. We'll see. Okay,
let's see.
Oh, my foot! You shot my foot!
That shot barely grazed you, you big baby.
It still scared me.
Okay, I only heard part of that clip come through. However, I know what that is. That is Matriarch Athena shooting Conrad Werner. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
would that have been in Mass Effect 2 on Ilium?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, yes. So I've never chosen that. Yay, I won! I've never chosen that, but I know that scene. So I was like, first of all, Athena's voice is unmistakable. Second of all, so are Conrad's screams.
I thought about not including the matriarch in there because she is a little bit of a giveaway, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, Conrad, in her defense, Conrad was being an anthropocentric bag of wieners.
That line's in Mass Effect 3. But yes.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right. Good. And guess what, guys? We have a second fun thing to do here in the mid-break. Planet cards. We have a planet card for Lucia today. Lucia, the crow is, if anyone thinks it sounds familiar, it's partly because of the Citadel DLC in Mass Effect 3, and you'll know why very shortly. The Krogan rebellions began in the Asari colony of Lucia. After centuries of unabated expansion, the Krogan finally forced the Council's hand when they tried to annex this world. Aware that in a generation, Lucia could be a staging base for an invasion of Thessia, the Council came to the colony's defense. They cut the Krogan supply lines off at Thessia's mass relay and inflicted heavy casualties. The Krogan here surrendered, but others across the galaxy were enraged. Lucia became the catalyst for a much greater war. More than a millennium later, Lucia finds itself once again in danger. Though the Asari have lost the high ground of space, the colony's webbed defense grid remains at least partially functional. Land, sea, and air forces are striking wherever they can, determined to resist until the end. So that was the planet card for Lucia. It is a critical point in Krogan history, as well as Krogan's history with the Council races, because when they tried to force a colonization of that planet, which I think force is a fair word here, the Council responded in full force. Not the least of which reason is because it was an Asari world, and because it was so close to Thessia. But when we see the clip of the warlord, I forget what his name is, but he's violently charging the Council after he makes his pitch as to why they're going to take Lucia. It doesn't leave a lot of justification or sympathy for the Krogan in that instance. However, yeah, it's also the Citadel Archives, so.
Yeah, and I mean, we should trust that as a reliable source, but then again, things can be changed. History is written by those who win, so never know.
That is right. And we don't have any new reviews here in the mid-break, no new reviews this week, but as a reminder, if you leave a 5-star review on Apple or whatever podcatcher you can leave reviews on, we will read it here in the middle of the show. And we do have to shout out our Tier 5 patrons. Thank you to William, Superfly440, Red Trobot, Lieutenant Tucino, Curacy, Ed Boy, and Draco, and that sound means our Reaper tier patron, Commander Shrinky Shep. Thank you so much for your continued support, and we hope that this episode pleases you. You'll be very pleased, I think. that was a Moreland reference. For those of you who got it, I hope you enjoyed it. But anyway, let's get back with the rest of the show.
After time adrift among open stars, along tides of light and through shoals of dust, I will return to where I began.
Solarian reproduction different. Very little sex drive. If intended to try human, would try you.
Ow, my pancreas.
All right. So I hope Joker is doing all right, but we do have more Rex to get to. And by the way, thank you to Debbie Shepherd on YouTube, who uploaded a lot of Reeve clips with Reeve is a jerk as the video title.
Yeah, and it's true. It's very, very true. And we did pull a lot of these upcoming clips from this video. So thank you very much.
Yes, Reeve is indeed a jerk. Very well put, succinctly said. That being said, let's check out some more of this dialogue with Reeve on Sir Kesh.
Are the Krogan ready to fight the Reapers?
That's like asking if an Asari is ready to mate.
I see Rex was the diplomat of the family.
This is the fight we were born to win.
What do you know about these females?
They weren't important, at least not until Malon's experiments. I used them as decoys to keep other clans from stealing the fertile ones.
That's a brutal way to treat your women.
On Tachanka, you either breed or you fight to protect the ones who can. It's why we Krogan are so friendly.
Yikes. So he just admitted to using a group of women as decoys because they were, in his opinion, less preferable.
Yeah. And again, with that Asari line, are you kidding me? Ugh. Is Asari ready to mate? No. Go away.
Not with you.
No, not with you at all.
Yeah, this guy, is probably the closest thing that we can get to seeing an incel as a Mass Effect character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't like it one bit. I do like the little lore drop, I guess you can call it that, of, you know, like the way that you fight and live and grow on Tuchanka, but that's just me trying to grasp at straws as to why we have this man in our game.
This guy I would not trust around any children, first of all. I also wouldn't trust him around any open drinks. You carry your drink with you when he's around and put your hand over top of it, because this guy is creepy AF. Yeah, I don't, man, he's so misogynistic. Like, I understand that they were probably trying to make a foil of Reeve here, you know, he's being Rex's foil essentially. But man, I can see why a lot of people who didn't have Rex along may be more inclined to sabotage the genophage cure.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I don't think that I would want a species that could populate the, as fast as they can to be led by him.
No, absolutely not. There's a little bit more about his leadership style that we'll get into in a little bit. But I think I see here in the notes that you have taken note of exactly this interaction between Eve and Reeve, just now realizing they rhyme, and how that differs between her and Rex.
Yeah, so after the fights, when we see Eve interact with Rex for the first time, it's almost, to me, it almost sounds a little bit flirty of the, I'm gonna take the shotgun out of your hands, show that I can shoot, and be like, I can handle myself, Rex. You know, and with Reeve, she grabs the shotgun out of his hands and says, I'm not your property, Reeve. And I love her for that, because she's direct, she's upfront, and says, I'm not your property.
She, like, and we know this from later dialogue, that she already knows Reeve. She already has that background with Reeve, so she knows just how misogynistic he is. So from Eve's perspective, this is not like the knight in shining armor coming to rescue her at all.
Yeah, she has no rose-colored glasses on. She knows exactly what she is walking into.
Yeah, she's like, okay, great. Well, at least I'm free from the Salarian's grasp, but now I got to deal with this a-hole. So Yeah, man. Okay, so like I mentioned about learning more about Reeves' leadership style, I learned that while researching for this episode, apparently Glyph tells Liara that under Reeves' command, Reeve has commissioned more WMDs, weapons of mass destruction, than any other Krogan in known history. What? Holy shirt balls.
That's insane and intense. Why? Like, even during the Krogan rebellions, even during all the wars that they've had, this moment now is when they've had the most? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, as Day Zero here in chat says, he's so quirky, guys. He's so quirky. He has this insatiable desire for WMDs and long walks on the beach. But mainly the beach thing. Yeah, that's including the Krogan rebellions when they were allegedly throwing asteroids into planets. They were slamming those asteroids into planets. So think about how this incredibly misogynistic man in charge of the planet's most powerful nation has the most amount of WMDs in history. And then consider that we're talking about Reeve in this episode.
I am not going to cure the genophage if I ever have to play this playthrough.
Right. Yeah. You're like, okay, what kind of future exists here? And that's not even getting to like what Reeve hints at toward the end of Mass Effect 3. We will get there. But I play games to escape. Am I right? And yet here we are.
Yeah, misogynistic man in charge of the weapons of mass destruction. What game? What year did this game come out again?
Right, yeah. 2012.
Okay, so before we tangent too far down that rabbit hole, there is another scene that I absolutely adore when it comes to Rex, but as a shocker to no one, Reeve is not a good scene. And this happens in the med bay when Morden, Shepard, Reeve, and Eve are all together. Rex was weary of the whole situation, but Morden has a good bedside manner and is helping to reassure and calm everyone down. But with Reeve, it's a completely different story. So let's take a listen to that.
All right, so here we go. We got this clip here also from Debbie Shepherd.
I never even trusted my own mother. And now an archenemy is suddenly my people's best friend.
Far from it. Find you abrasive and unpleasant, personally. We'll help your people, nevertheless.
But you're the one who improved the genophage.
True, but if wanted your species dead, could have sterilized you. Bloodless, irreversible, easy. Must be terrifying to have problem you can't defeat with shotgun. Fortunate I'm here to help.
Just keep her alive.
Concern is touching. Don't forget, still need your tissue sample.
Better not hurt.
No promises. Now have work to do. Prefer females of the species.
Wow, okay. Must be terrifying to have a problem you can't solve with a shotgun. It's a solid burn.
I have never loved Morden more in my life. And then in this scene, holy crap, he does so good with just shutting him down, but like not being, he's upfront about it. Like, normally Solarians are very, what Rex calls it, like, walking through a maze trying to get to a Solarian's true thoughts. But no, Morden's upfront about it. He's like, no, I'm here, and I'm helping your people. I wish that I wasn't helping you.
Right.
I just love him.
And you got to think, like, is Morden second guessing his choices now? Does having Reeve along realistically change the character progression for Morden? It doesn't, because this is a video game, but you have to imagine that if it were real, if you are in this universe, then perhaps bringing Reeve along, you might run into a situation where it's harder to convince Morden to actually follow through.
But it is, right? Because in order to sabotage the Genophage with a Rex run, you have to kill Morden. And with Reeve, Morden will change his mind and just say that he cured it and then run off.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right. See, you've exposed my lack of knowledge in playing with Reeve, because I always keep Rex and I always keep Morden alive too. So until the very end, he's just counting seashells by the seashore. So we don't talk about that. But yeah, this is okay. So that's really interesting that they even programmed that in there, because the writers must have been thinking about the fact that Morden was moved by the camaraderie between Rex and Shepard then.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I like that they put that in there, because it does further the point of this is not a good idea. This is not a good idea. So,
yeah. Also, love the fact that with Rex in the picture, that banter back and forth about need a tissue sample is pretty funny. But that becomes like really edgy with Reeve in there.
It does. And so with the Rex one, he complains about it for a little bit. You know, he says, I'm sore. But with Reeve, it continues on for a few more scenes. Reeve talks about how Morden took a very large sample from him and that he's in a lot of pain. And then they bring it up again while they're back onto Chanka and you're going through the whole Thresher Maw thing. Shepard straight up asks him, with your recent tissue sample donor, are you up for this mission or are you still in pain? And so it's another little dig at him.
Okay. So this guy is basically, Morden was like, yeah, I'm not going to be gentle because up yours, literally. And I don't really blame Morden for this. At least Morden's been straight up about like, yeah, I don't like you, by the way, and I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for your people. Which kind of is a testament to Morden's integrity that he would even follow through unabated. Like if you don't agree with the Dalatras and you don't want to sabotage it, you can still notify Morden, even with Reeve around. So, yeah, that's really interesting.
So there was another interaction that we didn't talk about on the Rex episode because it didn't really fit. But it was an interaction between Shepard and Eve. And most people will remember this conversation with her. It happens in the med bay, and where you can ask her about the female culture of the Krogan and getting more information and backstory and a beautifully told story about climbing out of the hole. And she'll normally talk about how her plans are to move forward with Rex and rebuild the Krogan population. But once again, she has a completely different thought process when it comes to Reeve. And we can hear the little clip of that now.
All right, let's play that. And this one also from Debbie Shepherd.
Me. What do you think of Reeve?
He worries me. Reeve has the makings of a tyrant. I see it in his eyes when he looks at me. I am the key to realizing his ambitions. But you can't judge all Krogan by his actions. His brood brother Rex was more reasonable.
Do you think Reeve will want revenge for the Genophage?
He's talked about it, but I think most females will resist.
How?
After we're cured, we'll refuse to have children. Reeve will need an army for revenge, but we're not going to watch a new generation finally born, only to face the slaughterhouse. It will be a civil war if Reeve tries. That may not stop him, though.
What'll Reeve do with his power?
What does any tyrant do with power? In ancient times, the Krogan were once a mighty race. Not because we dreamed of war, but making a better future for our children. The Genophage made us forget that. Reeve especially.
Ooh, that one hits really deep. Especially because it feels like in our own world, so recently, over the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years, we've taken our eyes off the stars and directed them toward the soil, so to speak, metaphorically, where it feels like there has been, at least in the United States, a concerted abandonment of higher intellectual pursuits.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that when it came to this clip, because I heard a woman afraid of what will happen once she becomes fertile again.
Mm.
And wow. Yeah, that's what I heard. And it scares me that she talks about how the makings of a tyrant and somebody who is going to want to force breeding on her and her sisters.
That is extremely dark. Like, exceedingly dark. And you have to think, well, why would he force that? For his own ends, of course, but probably just to build his clan and to build an army so that he can retain power.
And she doesn't want that. She wants to build a Krogan future for her children, not build an army for a tyrant. And it sounds like she's not going to have a choice unless she goes to war over it.
I mean, wow, what a choice that Eve has here. Like, yeah, I can cure the Genophage and then hope that there's some kind of distant date in the future where Reeve is, you know, usurped. Or I can, and I can suffer even if we do live through this war. Or we can just say, screw it. And, you know, Reeve will die just like all of us.
Yeah.
What a choice. Not one that I think a lot of players get to see. Like this kind of, you know, ideological battle. It really, like, we're talking about basically like a Handmaid's Tale becoming the reality for Eve and every other female Krogan, where the Genophage is cured. Is life really better?
I don't think so. Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, that leads us to the question of how do things go differently with the Genophage cure if Reeve is the leader? Well, first of all, he immediately starts telling people that it was all his doing. Like, he admits to Shepard that he's going to do this, that he's going to take all the credit. Big surprise. And he weaponizes it for a political gain so that he can consolidate power this way, saying that I'm the one who cured the Genophage. But interestingly, there is this immediate, there's this scene that's immediately after curing the Genophage, and it's similar to what we see with Rex, but a little bit different. Here's Eve telling Shepard just what he and Morden have done, but listen to the way that Reeve treats Morden's legacy. Okay, this is pretty critical here.
For too long, the bodies buried here have been Krogan killed by other Krogan. Today, you changed that. The despair has finally lifted.
And now we'll have fresh recruits. You should see how fast we pop them out.
The females will decide that, Reeve. It's just a pity Morden had to die.
He wouldn't have had it any other way. And I'm sure wherever he is, he's putting in a good word for us.
And he'll remain anonymous. History can't show that a Salarian cured the Genophage.
We'll know better.
You can tell the Turians we'd be more than happy to show them how a war is won. We already killed one Reaper, didn't we?
Ooh. Okay, why throw that in there at the end, right? We didn't splice that clip. by the way. That's just where he takes that with the Turians. And to me, it kind of sounds like a veiled threat. Like, we'll show the Turians how this war is won so that they're aware of what's coming for them. That's just kind of what I'm reading into it, given what else we've heard about Reeve. Like, maybe Reeve is already entertaining this idea of conquest after the Reaper War.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, he's showing his cards right here that he is cutting the Salarians out of history, making it so that way it was Reeve single-handedly curing the Genophage, right? Because anybody would believe that. So cutting him out completely and then immediately turning it to, okay, yeah, you've done that. Now I'll go fight the war, but I'm going to bring the Krogan War to the Turians. Not to go save the Turian home planet, not to go save the Turian people. No, we're just bringing war to the Turians.
Yeah. And now that you mention it, you know, about immediately talking about cutting the Salarians and Mordin out of history, taking the credit for himself, and then he turns to conquest. This is like classic propaganda of, you know, Krogan are a superior. That's how I was able to single-handedly cure this Genophage. And I'm your leader. You'll follow me because I did that. And I'm telling you that we turn toward the Turians now. You know, it's very concerning where maybe if you had Reeve alive and in your first playthrough and you get to this point, maybe you're thinking like, okay, crap, like maybe the Dalatras was right about expecting another Krogan rebellion and a Krogan war after, you know, the Reaper War while we're all in amongst rubble and the Krogan are going to try and conquer all of us. Maybe that's more of a legitimate fear. Maybe it's not so legitimate, but maybe it's playing on emotions a lot easier in this scenario where Reeve is leading the Krogan. You know, but that's just if you did cure the Genophage.
But what if you didn't cure it? What if you sabotaged it? Do we get that you betrayed me moment with Rex, or like we did with Rex on the Citadel? Because that one crushed me. I don't know if killing Reeve would crush me. Actually, I know it wouldn't crush my soul to have to shoot Reeve off of a balcony.
You know, sadly, we don't get that moment with Reeve because he's big dumb. So he brings the Krogan to Earth as promised because he never finds out. He never finds out that you duped him and his entire species and that the Dalatras also upholds her end of the bargain. And she sends the Salarian First Fleet to Earth. So if you want the Salarian First Fleet and the Krogan support on Earth, this is what you have to do, I guess. However, I would never do it. This is like the worst timeline. And what happens once both of them are on Earth? What about after the war? Right, that like now after the war, you have both of these factions that absolutely hate each other on Earth. Well, I think we can get an inkling of an idea from Reeve's speech to his troops right before this final assault. Of course, Rex is normally here, I think, in most players' circumstances, but if Reeve is talking to the group, oh my gosh, is it different? Check it out here, and I'll just, it's only a short clip, so I'll just play his entire speech.
And now, it's time we reminded the galaxy why they feared the Krogan. For now, pay attention to what the Turians are doing. And again, don't forget those damn Salarians. I don't know how they got here. Cooperate with them. Study their formations. Never know when we might be paying them a visit someday.
Okay, so that video courtesy of F-Town Killers Archive. Thank you for that. You can hear there at the end when he's like, we might pay the Salarians a visit after this. So pay attention to their tactics. Pay attention to the way their armies operate, including the Turians. He is actively planning for some kind of military action after this war.
Yeah, and that's big scary, because I think that he's going to pick up from whatever Krogan are still remaining from Earth and go try to conquer new land, because he assumes that he's going to have a million babies within a couple of months.
I mean, you want to talk about like huge differences and ramifications for just one person dying? Rex might be it. Because in a post-war era where everyone is weakened, the Krogan would run roughshod over everything and everyone. We're talking about like millions, if not billions, of deaths if people actually did fight. So yeah, this is, I mean, Rex, his life, the fact that he lives has such enormous implications about what, where we go after Mass Effect 3. I mean, of course, BioWare can canonize anything the way they want to, but I think it's clearly, the narrative is clearly showing us that Rex is the best chance at peace for the Krogan, not just amongst themselves, but finding their place in the galaxy too.
Yeah, I can honestly say that unless somebody is making me do a darkest timeline, I would never in my life choose this as a playthrough. I don't like Reeve out the gate. He's extremely misogynistic. He scares me when it comes to the way that he treats the female Krogan. The only one that I might want to play through is as an extreme renegade female shepherd, because I feel like she could rip into him and prove to the point that women are not there to be owned, because FemShep does not put up with shit like that. Re-Harkin. So it would be interesting to see if that playthrough gets through to him at all, but I don't think so. I don't think that I could subject myself to that playthrough.
I couldn't, not without a save editor. That way it would save me all the time going back and forth. But that is all we have for Reeve. Thankfully, he is not present in too much of the lore. I think that it just kind of goes to show that, like, if you want like a better feeling experience, keep Rex alive. If you want to actively betray the Krogan and feel less bad about it, keep Reeve alive, because he makes it much easier for you.
Yeah, I agree.
So, all right, that's all we got for this week. Genesis, what do you got going on, and how can people get a hold of you?
You can always hit me up on the Discord. Tagging me is best because I don't always check messages. I do have a pretty busy, chaotic life. I also have two other podcasts, the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we talk everything video game romances. And in fact, I had to say the words, yes, I will marry Sam, just the other night for our Valentine's Day recording. Sam is a romanceable character in Stardew Valley, and that is who we are currently going through.
Thank you for elaborating there, because I'm already taken.
I know.
As I've been told, Sam in Stardew Valley is not very similar to me anyway.
No, because you're not a 20-something punk kid with a skateboard. You do both share an affinity for video games, though.
Imagine that. I think we all do here. All right. Well, everyone should go check out those shows. Two Girls, One Ship. There are a couple Ashley episodes, by the way. Actually, there's every Mass Effect character that you could want to hear about romance-wise over at those shows in Two Girls, One Ship. So I am streaming still every week. I'm trying to anyway. Work has switched my shifts like 4 times over the past 2 weeks. And I have slid between the 9 a.m. shift, which is my normal one, and the 4 a.m. one, which is very early. And it still takes me an hour to get to work. So you can do the math. Shifting between those has been rough. So I have been taking a couple weeks off of streaming. However, I'm getting back to it. And I have my 4K OLED monitor coming in tomorrow. I cannot wait to play Cyberpunk on it. So I will want to stream Cyberpunk, full path tracing and everything. It's going to be great. If you want to catch any of my Cyberpunk, my first Phantom Liberty stream, follow me on Twitch at N7 The Legend. And I'm also on Blue Sky, interacting a lot more now, too. So I think that's all we got. Next week, I don't know if we've chosen what we're going to cover yet. I think maybe we might go and talk about a corporation, because we are still in the middle of the corporation episodes. It might be good to break up some of the character episodes with that. I know that we still have some of Rex in the Citadel party to talk about. We have a lot of characters in the Citadel party to talk about, actually. So we'll keep everyone informed. But until next time, Spectres, thank you for stopping by. And I think Reeve just goes to show that we shouldn't elect tyrants, because they're bad. Until next time, Spectres. Thanks for listening to the Mass Effect Lorecast. Reach out to us on Blue Sky, Twitter, Discord, Patreon, or email us at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Join us next week for more lore. Same space, same time. Or check out our live streams at twitch.tv/masseffectlorecast.
Saving money on remodeling your home at Menards. Start your tile project off right with DentShield Tile Backer from Georgia Pacific. It's proven to protect against moisture in your walls and subfloors, with a built-in water barrier, making it perfect to use in damp areas like kitchens and bathrooms. Plus, its easy-to-cut design makes installation a breeze. Save big on Georgia Pacific DentShield Tile Backer panels. On sale through March 2nd. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.